How's everybody doing today? Doesn't sound like everybody went to bed nice and early last night to be ready for my talk. All right, so my talk is on treasures. Rachel, where are we? Up here. So I got a whiteboard here with some markers, and ask you guys, what do you think of when you hear the word treasure? Yep.
Gold.
Gold, okay. Just write it down there. Just anywhere. Okay. Who else? Yep.
Diamonds.
Diamonds. Okay, good. Anyone else? I got a big whiteboard here. Hopefully you can fit more than two more things. Money? Okay, good. Yeah?
Jewelry?
Okay. Yeah?
Priceless objects.
Okay, priceless objects. Yeah? What?
Time? Nothing's important to you in life. Family.
Family. Okay. Do you have any pets? Huh? No? Is that important to you? Yeah. Okay. Pets. Yeah.
Pictures.
All right. So we got a couple things on our list here. what we're going to do is we're going to start off by looking at the first six places in the Bible that the word treasure is used. It's used almost 100 times, 98 times the word treasure is used in the Bible. But we're just going to look up the first six places. The first place is Genesis 43, verse 23. And he said, "Peace be unto you, fear not. Your God and the God of your fathers has given you treasures in your sacks, and I had your money, and he brought Simeon out to them." Anybody remember what story this is from? They had money in their sacks. They brought out Simeon. Pretty popular Sunday school story. Thought I was giving you an easy one to start off. They found money in their sacks. Nobody remembers that story? Their brother was, yeah? Yeah, Joseph and the coat of many colors. Well, it was later on when they, after they sold him, they came down the second time. The first time they found money in the sacks, and the second time they came down. So that's talking about when they found their money in their sacks. That was their treasure. That was the first time it's spoken of. The next time, in Exodus 1 and 11, "Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict their with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramses." How about this one? When were they building treasured cities for people in Egypt? James, you got it. And I guess, when were they in Egypt? Oh, somebody's got. Yeah.
Was it Israel was slaves?
Yeah. It was before, just before Moses was born. And and the Egyptians were making them their slaves and working them hard. So the second time, treasures is cities. Exodus 19 and 5. "Now therefore, If ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenants, then ye shall be a particular treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So in this story, they were right outside, were at Mount Sinai. It happened before they had the incident with the golden calf. Israel entered into a covenant with God, saying, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And God tells them that his treasure was them, the people of Israel, if they listened to him. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasures, the heavens to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the works of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. So Wednesday night's readings, we're talking about how in the kingdom age, if they didn't go up to the to worship God, all the other lands would not get rain, but Egypt would be plagued. And that's because Egypt didn't get rain. They used the Nile River to irrigate the land. But God was telling them that the promised land that they were going to go into, they had to trust in God. He would give them the rain. And that would be allow them to grow things. And then Deuteronomy 32, verse 32, and I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. The wine is poison of serpents. And the cruel venom of cobras is this not laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures? Vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasteneth upon them. So here Moses is still talking to Israel, but he's warning them about the treasures of the world. They look good, but they just lead to death. It's like drinking poison when we are thirsty. People that get stranded in the desert will drink the water from their radiator and end up dying from the chemicals in it. It might look good at the time, but it will kill you. So money, building, people, rain, poison, vengeance, these are all things that the Bible talks about as treasures. Some things we might have on our list that we might think of as treasures. Some things we might even think as not being a treasure or a blessing. Is it kind of ruin our day if we have something planned to do outside and it starts raining? Then we're disappointed with it. We don't count that as a treasure. How about when we go to the fridge? We open up the fridge, want to get ourselves a nice Coda, Dr. Pepper, something like that, and all we see is water. We're not thanking our mother for, oh, yeah, at least she got us some water. We're upset with her at the soda that she didn't get us. We don't think as the water is a treasure. So there is a lot of things in our life that we take for granted. The water, enough food to eat, clothing, and shelter. These things that we wake up every day and we just have. We don't think of them. It didn't even make our list up yet. But what is the most important thing in life? If we turn to Matthew 6 and 25, we read, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the field, the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not more clothe you? O ye of little faith, wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all things. Now this may sound like we don't need to take any thought. We don't have to. It doesn't matter. Well, when I was coming here, I had to pack my clothes. I had to think about what I was going to wear. if nobody thought about lunch today, we walk into the lunchroom, there wouldn't be any food. So it's not saying that we can't take any thought, but it's saying that we shouldn't take anxious thought. We shouldn't be getting stressed out about it. It's not going to make the food taste any better the more we worry about it. We just do the best we can, and God will bless it. God will make it work out. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 19. And they shall call the people unto the mountains, and they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, and they shall all suck of the abundance of the sea and the treasures hidden in the sand. Now this is, to me, what treasure is. It's hidden in the sand. I think of a treasure map. It's got the big red X on it. You know, that's what pops into my head when I think of treasure. It's kind of a hidden thing. And with treasures, you can't think of treasures without thinking of treasure hunts. So we're going to do a little treasure hunt today. I have hidden hundreds of candy kisses around the room today. Your job is to find the kisses and put them in your bag. I've got a bunch of bags here I'll hand out. You may also put the kisses into other people's bags, meaning you may put them either in your bag or in someone else's bag if you want. You may not ask another student to put the kisses into your bag. They must do it on their own free will. You cannot steal kisses out of other people's bags. Once the kisses have been put into the bag, they're going to stay in that bag until the end. And then we're going to see how many kisses are in each bag. So if you break these rules, then you'll have to give me all the kisses and you'll be disqualified. All right? Any questions? All right, so I got a bunch of bags here. I gave you guys 2 minutes. Okay, go. don't know. I didn't hide them, actually. All right, if we can find our seats. Now, what I want you to do is count how many are in your bag, and then we're going to come up and write your name and how many you found on the board.
That didn't work.
The people that ate them before the talk, I won't ask them to come up and write down how many they had. Okay, just come up and write your name and how many you got.
You're not selfless.
No, I. There were.
You're not selfless, my dear. Okay, so if we look up here, we have some people got zero. Some people got a few. We got a couple people in the 20s. Sam, 22. Callan, 25. Mikey, 25. Nathan, 23.
Caden 28. So, who won? Caden. Why does everybody say Caden won? Did I say there was going to be a winner or a loser?
No.
Did I say the object was to collect the most?
No.
I got a little video to show you, and it's just what the world tells us. Probably a lot of the younger people won't know who this guy is. It's Scrooge McDuck, but it kind of shows what the world thinks of being rich. And this is how he enjoys his money. So that's what the world sees as winning. And it affects us. When we think of who won, we automatically think who has the most. I can't swim in my money. I can't make it rain even if I use $1 bills. But you guys all shared your treasure with me here at the start. And we see by the example of Scrooge McDuck what he thinks is his treasures. And the sad thing is, when I was finding that video, there's actually people that, it's like Scrooge McDuck for real. I didn't actually watch him, but I guess people swim around in money. It's kind of crazy, but that's the way it is. Now, if you only got one, did you feel like a winner? You started with zero and ended up with more than what you had. Who thought when they woke up this morning and were coming to the Sunday school talk, thought that they would end up with a bag of candy? What if I gave out one for each question you got right? Then when you got the first one, would you feel like a winner? I got a question right. I got a reward. Our treasures can change, or our view of our treasures can change simply by our attitude or our perception. The Bible tells us to be content with whatever we have. The world pushes us, buy this new thing. Get more of those things. You're really missing out if you don't have this. We are to be separate from the world and not to worry about stuff. This should not be what we are treasuring, what the world tells us. Look at a few places in the Bible that talk about treasures, but now we're going to look at one. We're going to compare Matthew 13 and Luke 18. So Matthew 13, we read, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a hid treasure in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant, seeing a goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Okay, pretty simple. We all know that parable. And then there's another one, Matthew 18. "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. And he said, All this have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto them, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come and follow me. And when they heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful and said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" So let's think about those two different stories. We had a pearl that a man would sell everything that he had or the person that had all the stuff that did not want to sell everything that he had? Who won? The guy that had more stuff or the person that had the one pearl of great price? Now, this is very simple to see. We can all say, yeah, that's what I would choose too, in theory. But when it's something that we're doing in our daily lives, we don't have somebody telling us, do this, and then you'll be in the kingdom. Every day, it's hard to think about what the right thing is to do versus what we want to do. So how do we value something? What do we do with something that we value? These things that are on the list over here. What might we do with some of those things to show that we value it? Yep.
Take care of it.
Okay, if it's a pet, you have to feed it. What if it's jewelry or money? Yep.
Use wisely.
Yep. You can use it. You can put it in a safe spot. You know, we have to make sure that we're not just kind of throwing it away or wasting it. So how can we show God that we care about his word? Well, I'm going to give everybody a little bit of homework to do. And I've got a pile of papers here I'm going to pass out that has a pie chart on it with 24 hours, and there's five of them for a week. And if some people are computer savvy, there's a Google link, and there's also a QR code that you can scan and make a copy of it. So it's private, just you see it. And you can kind of keep track and see where your time is being spent. Is that really where we want to spend our time? I'm going to hand these out, and then I'm going to show you what mine was. If you just take one and pass it back. So this is on the little spreadsheet thing. Over here we have, you can fill in all the way down. I gave you 24 spots, so if you spend an hour doing something. And then it creates a little pie chart over here. You can zoom in on the pie chart. Perfect. All right, so this is what I did the last day that I worked before I came here. It's not my proudest day, but it was a day. So this is what I put up here. You can see... red, the daily readings. It's not even big enough to put a percentage in there. Not too good. I spent as much time working on my talk that day as I did playing on my phone. But that's just one day. I didn't spend any time with my family that day other than doing the readings and breakfast and supper is all I spent with my family. like I said, this was not my best time, but it was a real day. And it was only one day, but it's a day that I will have to answer for what I did with that time. I might have been good at hiding. Nobody knew how much time I spent working on this talk that day, or doing my readings, or studying. I would have been fine hiding it until I put it up on the spreadsheet here so everybody could see. I might have done better than some people. If you guys filled out the chart and brought yours up, I might have done better than some people. Hopefully not, but maybe. And I hopefully did worse than most people. But I will be held accountable for what I did with this time. And you too will be held accountable for the time that you spent. Like the treasure hunt, there will be more than one winner. But like the treasure hunt, those that do not follow God's rules will be disqualified from taking part in the reward. going to just look at a few more verses. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is he with a little, better is a little with fear of God than great treasures and trouble therewith. Better is a handful in quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. A little that the righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the right. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and the inheritance shall be forever. And if we remember one verse from today, Timothy 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Being happy with what you have, what God has blessed you with, is great gain. I will end my talk here today from the words that I heard from another brother's exhortation that really stuck with me. And I wanted to share it with all of you. Since I'm in Texas, I should probably say I want to share it with you all. The quote was, "What if we woke up tomorrow with only the things that we thank God for today? What if we woke up tomorrow with only the things that we thank God for today? If I tweaked it to fit my talk, what if we woke up tomorrow with only the things that we spent the most time with last week? How rich would we be? Would we be in the world or in the truth? Would we have coworkers or family? Would we have friends at school or friends in the Sunday school? Would we have a TV or would we have a Bible? Or would we just simply be left with our phones, Snapchat, and Xbox? Where is your treasure? Because that is where your heart is.